Welcome to the ULM Forum. I'm Jay Curtis. Impressive was the word Louisiana Secretary of State Tom Shedler used on a recent visit to describe the University of Louisiana at Monroe's Museum of Natural History, featuring over 6,000 square feet of exhibit space, the largest collection of plant specimens in Louisiana, and a full-size cast of a skull of Tyrannosaurus rex, among others. Joining me to talk about the museum is Dr. Gary Stringer, the head of the Department of Atmospheric Science, Earth Science, and Physics, and the director of ULM's Museum of Natural History. Dr. Stringer, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jay. Glad to be here.
The Museum of Natural History at ULM is something that's still being newly discovered since a move in 2003 to what had been the university library. Tell us about that move and what it's meant for the museum.
Jay, the museum is located over on the third floor of Sandal, and that's something that, in a way, is amazing also, because in the not far distant past, the museum was spread all over the university. It was in all different types of buildings. Being able to give a really coherent tour for pre-college students, especially elementary kids, and having to traipse them all over the campus was really difficult. So we were delighted some years back that we were able to obtain the third floor of Sandal, and all of the museum has now been moved to the third floor of Sandal.
As glad as you were to have that space to expand to, the moving process must have been very arduous.
It certainly was. And when you had buildings all over the campus to be able to transfer this material, and especially when you think about the herbarium has these very large, heavy metal and, you know, containers that they had the plant material in it, and then you've got all these thousands and thousands of jars with, you know, alcohol in them with preserved fishes, and you've got a 8-foot mammoth tusk that weighs hundreds and hundreds of pounds. It was exciting, but yes, it was tedious and it was very time consuming.
So for someone who's never been before, tell us what's the museum like now compared to what it was when you were scattered across campus?
Oh, when it was a few years ago, it was such a hodgepodge. You could pick up little bits and pieces here and there. Now the exhibits are such that a person can come through and really get a great idea of areas such as zoology, such as botany, and of course the geosciences, which would include rocks and minerals and fossils and artifacts. Just some tremendous things that people can now see in one floor.
I think one of the unique things about the Museum of Natural History here is that it's run without any specific staff of its own. How does that work?
The museum is amazing in that it's completely volunteer. All of the faculty who work in it, in fact, our curators, we have a curator for zoology, a curator for botany, and a curator for the geosciences. They teach, they're department heads, they do all of their jobs, and then this is their labor of love. And they're over there giving literally thousands and thousands of hours. We have emeritus faculty who come and work and are still contributing greatly, even though they no longer get paid. We try to keep it open every day that the school is open from around 9 o'clock to 2 o'clock. Now, we also will do tours, you know, just like a faculty member. If you need to see me and it's not my office hours, I'll still do it. Just you need to tell me. So if a person wants to come at night or they want to bring a group or whatever, we try the best we can to accommodate everyone. And then every Saturday, the first Saturday of each month, we're also open from about 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock on Saturday for, like, maybe people that couldn't come during the week. You just come up to the third floor of Sandal. If there's a handicap or disability problem, we've got an elevator. And also, we're anywhere in the museum is wheelchair accessible. Or if you need a little exercise, you can walk those 3 flights of stairs up to the top of Sandal.
So what are some of the drawing points of the museum? What are some things that people would see when they come?
Okay, and you know, I'm doing this on kind of the wow factor of the kids. You watch their eyes, you watch their mouth get open, you know, come open. And as soon as you walk into the museum, you know, you're looking at a taxidermic mount of a tiger. And all of a sudden the kids, you know, oh, it's like at LSU or something. Or here's a huge taxidermic mount of an alligator. And even out in the stairwell, we have hippopotamus. We have an eland, which is the largest antelope in the world, weighed about 2,000 pounds when it was living. Everybody thinks, you know, antelopes, little tiny, graceful things. Here's a 2,000 pound. And then as you come in, it just gets better and better. And of course, one of the things we have a skull of Tyrannosaurus Rex, and it's the one from the Chicago Film Museum. It's a cast of Sue, which is the most famous T-Rex in the world. Just recently, in fact, only 2 weeks ago, we got a mammoth skull with two complete tusks, and this is from the very, very famous mammoth site that's up in Hot Springs, South Dakota, which is probably the best mammoth site in the world. And as you go on, it just gets better and better as you go through. It's just all kinds of exciting things, but it's also highly, highly educational. We were talking about education and children having to learn things. It's such a neat environment. A kid doesn't know, and most adults don't know, the difference between a frog and a toad. And you'll hear the infamous toad frog, which is entirely wrong.
Right.
Well, here are exhibits that you can learn what the difference is. And you can learn about animals that used to live here. You can see ancient whales that would have been swimming here 36 million years ago. It just puts a whole new slant on science.
Secretary of State Shedler was here a couple of weeks ago, and he expressed a particular interest in one of the exhibits there. Tell us about it.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. In fact, one of the pictures that was in the one of the newspapers, you were looking through the mouth of one of these ancient whales. It was actually called Bacillosaurus. It's a favorite of the kids, too, not only because it was here, it was first named in Louisiana, which is really neat that when scientists first found it, the first place in the entire world was down in Caldwell Parish, Louisiana. It makes us famous. And also, the kids, when they say, do we have dinosaurs in Louisiana? And you know, it's always, I hate to have to tell them, no, we don't have any dinosaurs because we were ocean then. And dinosaurs didn't live in ocean. But I can come back with, but look at this whale. It was bigger than a T-Rex. It was 60 feet long and had these massive teeth, and it was really cool and scary, and it's extinct, so you don't have to worry about it being under your bed or anything, you know? So kids like that. That's one of the reasons, too, that a lot of times they really like dinosaurs and extinct animals. Think about it. It can't hurt you anymore. You're safe. It's not going to be in the closet. It's not going to be hiding under the bed when mom turns out the lights. So I think that's one of the reasons that dinosaurs and extinct animals are so exciting. You're safe to like them.
What's the importance of having a resource like this in Northeast Louisiana? Because as you know, you see, okay, kids who've watched A Night at the Museum or kids who maybe have taken a trip to Washington and been to the Smithsonian, having those kinds of exhibits right here where kids can start that learning process and maybe even into career choices for research down the road.
Absolutely. And another thing, we had over 7,000 people visit this little museum last year. That's with a minimum of publicity and so on, but as more and more people learn about it. And, of course, the Secretary of State should be able to help us there, too, because, you know, he oversees 17 of the state museums, and he was very impressed. So we think that's going to help us. And the kids, to see, like, the T-Rex or the Allosaurus that we have, they would have to go to Dallas, or they'd have to go to Jackson, or they're going to have to go up maybe to Hot Springs. We're unique in our geographical location. There's something like 50,000 school kids. They're within an hour drive of our museum. You never know when a kid walks in, the light comes on, and you've got the next world-famous anthropologist, or you've got a doctor that's researching genetic, you know, all kind of disorder. You don't know. But this is a way to really excite kids and the general public. We really concentrate on Louisiana. Now, sure, we've got things from around the world, and we've got plants, we've got fish, we've got them from Africa, Australia, all over the world. But we really concentrate on Louisiana because so few people really know about the science that entails our state.
As part of the university, the museum is also involved in a couple of ongoing projects. One of those is the herbarium project, and you've gotten some grant money for that. Give us an update on how it's going.
It's going very well, Jay. We received about $500,000 from the National Science Foundation, and it appears we may be getting other funding. This is the work of Tom Sasek and Dennis Bell primarily. And what they're doing is there are about 15 herbaria, and that's just the scientific name for a place that has plant collections. And there are about 15 across the state. And we have the largest here. In fact, if you add all the other 14 together, they're not even as big as the one we have here, which, you know, we're very proud of that. But what they're doing is using some very powerful cameras to take pictures, and they're actually scanning them in and all this, and they're going to have searchable databases on the internet. So any plant in Louisiana, and we have something like 99.9% of all the plants known from Louisiana, we have over in that museum. And I asked Tom, why can't we say 100? And he said, well, there might be one we don't have. So we're just covering ourselves, but we have most of the plants that are found in Louisiana. And now when a student, you know, down at the pre-college level is doing some kind of research and wants to know about plants in Louisiana, he's going to have this wonderful database, hit the internet, and of course, our museum's going to play a major, major role in that.
You've also got some other ongoing research projects. Is that as part of the university, what the Natural History Museum does and what the department does is working to learn more about all of these creatures and plants and other resources there.
Yeah, Jay, one of the most important aspects of a museum, you can have a museum that's just exhibits, okay? But then, to me, a real museum is a museum that also is discovering new science. They're investigating. And we have one of the largest collections of preserved fishes. In fact, we have the third largest collection in any university in the United States. Okay? Now you think about big name universities, and ULM has the third largest collection of preserved fishes, which started actually back in 1962. But we have even fish that were collected before then because we trade with other universities and other collections. There's all kinds of research that's constantly being done. When you come up into the museum, and we haven't updated it, but say in the last year or so, but you can see the hundreds of museums and universities across the world, not just the United States, that borrow plant material, that borrow fishes, that borrow fossils and so on from our museum. It's really amazing, the research aspect. But it's a very important part because that's what really keeps a scientist, to me, current. If all you do is design an exhibit, you've designed the exhibit, you change it later, but you're also involved in what really excites a scientist, and that's doing his research. And that university has a very, very important research component as well as an educational component. It's kind of a two-prong attack.
So where do you see the museum going from here?
Well, what I, of course, this is personal, and speaking as the director for this year, ideally, we need more room. We're pretty compacted, and that was one thing that was noted. We did go through the museum assessment program. It was a very good report, and we were very, very pleased. But of course, they found things that we need to do better. And one thing, which is a nice thing, we need more room. And we're hoping, you know, with maybe the Secretary of State and with the community and with the university, that either here we can find more room or we can even maybe construct a museum or something. But room is of a primary concern right now. And of course, maybe someday having a paid director and having people that actually get to work rather than having to be all volunteer. But of course, right now, the museum is doing tremendously, but you can't always continue to ask people to give up so much time for the museum to be successful.
It sounds like you have a great bunch of volunteers.
Oh, the professors that work with the museum are almost just selfless because they do all their other work. They're good teachers, they're good department heads, whatever they're doing, but yet they gladly come over and give a tour for 70 second graders.
Dr. Stringer, how does somebody find out about how to get to the museum or how to get a tour of the museum?
Okay, Jay, that's no problem. There's several different ways if they want to drop by the museum and talk with somebody in person, or they can email people such as myself or Dennis Bell, Tom Sasek, different people, which are all found on our website. An even easier thing to do is simply call 342-1868. And if someone doesn't pick it up, of course, there's going to be an answering machine, and we will return the call and we'll set up tours. In fact, there are two tours today, and we do all we can to make sure that it's convenient for the people and, of course, that they get a meaningful experience.
Dr. Gary Stringer is a professor of geology here at ULM. He's also the head of the Department of Atmospheric Science, Earth Science, and Physics, and the director of the Museum of Natural History. Dr. Stringer, thanks so much for being here today.
You're very welcome, Jay. Enjoyed it.
Comments or questions about the show can be emailed to woodard@ulm.edu or send them to ULM Forum, care of KEDM Public Radio, 250 Stubbs Hall, 401 Bayou Drive, Monroe, Louisiana, 71209. Podcasts of the ULM Forum are available online at kedm.org in the listening room.